1 Timothy chapter 1. Praise be to God. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Thank you, Jesus. How many of you were here Sunday? The power of God was wonderfully blessed here, the presence of the Lord. Let me share something with you. It was God revealing His presence to His people. It wasn't about manifestations and deliverance and healing. It was about God just expressing His presence. And He did. And He gave us a prophetic word of things that were going to change. Let me tell you, instantly that day things began to change. And they're changing now. Changing rapidly. Tremendously changing. Oh, but if you're not focused correctly, you'll miss it. You'll miss. If you're still focused on you, you'll miss. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 18. Would you all read it with me? Brother Paul writes to Timothy and he says, "This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the what?
Good warfare."
Everybody say wage.
Wage.
The good warfare.
Good warfare.
Good warfare. A lot of people are out there waging warfare, but it ain't good. Oh, it's like what Paul said, man, you're just hitting in the skies. You're just hitting in the air. Can't hear me back there? Turn it up. Hallelujah. People are punching into the air trying to do warfare, and they're not doing nothing. Amen? Has everybody got it? Can you hear me yet? Praise God. Hallelujah. Can you hear me yet? Oh, hallelujah. Let's continue. Move up closer. Hallelujah. "That by them you may wage the good warfare." In verse 19, "having faith and a good conscience." Are you reading with me, brother? You're reading my lips. Start at 18 again. "This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, having faith and a good conscience, which some, having rejected concerning the faith, have suffered what? Shipwreck. Of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme." Wow, that's pretty wild, isn't it? See, like I shared before, there are people who are doing warfare, but they're not doing good warfare. They're just hitting in the air. They're not doing the right things. And there are certain things that prevent us from... Hallelujah, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Praise God, everybody's going, yeah, all right. Hallelujah. Let's continue on, chapter 2. "Therefore, I exalt first of all that" what? "Supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. For kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of our God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." Now he's starting to talk about warfare. He's saying, okay, there's a difference between good warfare and warfare. And he begins to explain it here, and he says, listen, I first exalt that all what? Supplication. Hello? And prayers. Let me share something with you. Without a prayer life, you can't warfare. I don't care how much knowledge you have. I don't care how much of the word you can speak or how much you've remembered or put into your carnal memories. But without a prayerful life, you have no warfare. None. Zilch. Kaput. Hello? No prayer life, no warfare. Just doesn't happen. Why? Because the word tells us, submit to God and resist the devil. Without a prayer life, you cannot submit to God. That means you cannot resist the devil. Hello? God does not answer the prayer of a sinner, but of him who worships. Now, he knows, we know that we're all sinners, but we repented, didn't we? So when the blood washed us, we're no longer considered a sinner. Not that we don't sin, but we're washed by the blood. Amen? So with no prayer life, you wage no warfare. And the devil will kick your butt constantly. Is everybody with me? Why? We want to wage a good warfare. In fact, the name of this teaching is Waging a Good Warfare. So we understand here that what he just said, he says, warfare is prayer. That's where your warfare is at. Warfare is prayer. Warfare is intercession. Without prayer, you are not doing any warfare. You may get up, do your deliverance prayers and go, but without personal prayer, you cannot wage warfare. Hello? You become religious yourself. There's got to be intercession. That's where warfare comes from. That's considered prayer, isn't it? What are you doing? You're interceding for whatever God wants. Hello? So there's intercessions, there's supplications. There are no, in other words, you're praying for needs of individuals also. And then there's thanksgiving, knowing that what you just prayed, he heard. Hello? There's thankfulness of who he is and what he's done and where you are right now. But without a prayer life, there is no warfare. None. Hello? So we can't get so religious just to do our deliverance prayers and a few thank yous. There must be intercession. There must be supplication. You know, you can only pray for yourself for so long. Hello? Oh, and you can only write so many needs on a list. Eventually you'll get tired. And God won't bring those anyways. He says he already knows your need. Hallelujah. So one of the things that we want to do is wage a good warfare. One of the ways is intercession. Intercession. Turn to Romans 8. Hallelujah. Too many people are getting deceived. Too many people are being offended. Too many people are, woe is me. Romans chapter 8. And too many people aren't willing to die. You can't die without prayer. Hello? No prayer life? You have a carnal life. Romans chapter 8. In verse 26 and 27, would you read it with me? Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes what? Intercession for who? For us, with all groanings which cannot be uttered or understood. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he what? Makes intercession for the saints according to what? The will of God. Intercession. Intercession. Praying in the Spirit. Intercession. No intercession, no warfare. Does everybody understand it? Warfare is prayer. Warfare is intercession. Warfare is supplication. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Waging a good warfare. Thank you, Master. Ephesians chapter 6. Is everybody there? In verse 13, would you read it with me, please? Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13. Therefore what? Take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying what? Always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now that's the same thing that we just read, isn't it? So praying in the Spirit, what's he talking about? Tongues. Hello. He's talking about praying in the Spirit. Tongues. Sharamakia broho soto robo so. Let me tell you, when God has given you that gift and you don't use it, you can't warfare. Hello? So praying in tongues is a part of warfare, isn't it? Why? Because you are not, but you are yielding to the Spirit. The Spirit is interceding through you. Intercession, supplication. And the needs of the perfect will for all saints. Does everybody get it? See, the devil would just like us to just go, oh, thank you, Lord. You're wonderful. Little hoo-hoo, ha-ha, and it's over with. The devil wants to deceive us. See, he don't mind if you pray in your common language because then he can intercept. And then you're praying and the Spirit isn't. Does everybody understand that? Yeah. Most of the time, even if you start your day praying in the Spirit, as you're praying, even when you come to your common language, sometimes you're just praying the interpretation which you already prayed. Hello? But you'll know who's running your life by how much you pray in the Spirit. Either your flesh is running your life or the Spirit's running your life. Now, if your flesh is running your life, you know that every spirit from hell is running your life. And you know that the rug is about to get pulled out from you eventually. Hello? Because why? You're not warfaring. Do you understand that? And we've got wonderful teachings about warfare, don't we? Those who are not in a battle become what? Casualties. Hello? Praying in the Spirit. Withstand evil forces. Get dressed for battle in the Spirit to engage in the battle with prayer. Has everybody got it? So we get dressed to get engaged in the battle. Prayer is the engagement of your warfare. And I'm not doing a teaching on prayer. I'm talking about waging a good warfare. Hello? Go to 1 Corinthians 14. Now we know that the word is the weapon of God, isn't it? Amen. Amen. But prayer is engaging in warfare. Does everybody understand that? Everyone say prayer is engaging in warfare. Warfare. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. It's when people say, would you pray for me? What are we doing? We're interceding for others, aren't we? Of course, there's some people that need to start praying for themselves so that they can start interceding for others. Because what you sow is what you reap. 1 Corinthians 14 and 14. Is everybody there? Come on, read it with me. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. So who's praying? The Spirit. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit and I will also sing with the understanding. Hello. So praying in the Spirit is engagement of warfare. You are engaging in warfare. Does everybody understand it? It is important to get it. Tongues engages in good warfare by intercession for the saints according to the perfect will of God. Mark 16. Waging a good warfare. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb. So we're to get dressed with the full armor of God. Why? To withstand the forces that are going to try and prevent you from prayer. That's why when we have prayer gatherings, majority of the prayer should be done in the Spirit. People start off in their common language without praying in the Spirit first. They pray out of their... Amen. Their soul. You got to pray out of the Spirit. Why? Then let the interpretation come. Because you're not searching the deep things of God now. You're not praying what God wants you to. You're praying what you think you should. But it's got nothing to do with your thoughts. Mark 16. Oh, is everybody there? Good. Hallelujah. I'll be there in a sec. In verse 16. He who believes and is baptized will be what? Saved, but he who does not believe will be? Hallelujah. Now the word believe means to what? Follow. Did Jesus have a prayer life? You betcha. What was he doing? He was engaging in warfare. Does everybody get it? And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will what? Cast out demons and they will speak with what? What was God doing? Saying, here, here, come on. Time for engagement of warfare. Isn't casting out demons part of warfare? Amen. That's a battle. Isn't praying in the Spirit warfare? Then he says, listen, no matter what they're going to try and do to you with serpents or whatever, they're going to try and feed you or whatever, spiritually feed you, it won't hurt you. Amen. And you're going to do other things. You're going to lay hands on the sick. Why? Because, and they're going to recover. Why? Because they're engaged in warfare. Is everybody with me? It's a war. You're on war. You're on somebody else's property. Once you got saved, you became an enemy of this world. When the day you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, got filled with the Holy Ghost, let me tell you something, you became an enemy of this world. That's why the Word tells us it's no longer where you live anymore. It's no longer your home. Your home isn't here. It's in the presence of God. So as soon as you got saved, you became an enemy of this world. And the world is trying to wipe you out. Why? Because the ruler of this world is who? Satan. Hello? Oh, hallelujah. Exodus 17. Glorious. Waging a good warfare. In verse 8, Exodus 17 and verse 8. Would you read it with me, please? Now Amalek came and fought with Israel and Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, choose us some men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So what was Moses going to do? He was doing intercession. So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Ur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let his hand down, Amalek prevailed. What was he doing? Intercession, wasn't he? Now, And Moses' hands became heavy. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and one on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So, now look at, this is very powerful because this is a representation of praying in the Spirit. Here's Moses interceding. What happened? The other two came along and supported him. Praying in the Spirit is not only supporting the perfect and supporting a brother or sister somewhere that you don't even know about, but it's causing an engagement of warfare against the enemy. See, what was happening is they were doing intercession, but in the physical realm it was being affected. Do you understand that? So what you're doing by intercession is affecting the spirit realm, which is affecting the physical realm. So Moses was doing intercession. Aaron and Hur came up. They began to stand in a gap. A threefold cord is what? Hard to break. Hello? As they began to do it, they knew as Moses' arms were held up that they were going to prevail against their enemy. Why? Because they were prevailing against their enemy in the spirit realm. And it was actually being manifested in the natural realm. Is everybody with me? Oh, hallelujah. Anybody with me?
Amen.
Okay. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, then the Lord said in verse 13, so Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in the book and recount it in it the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under the heaven. And Moses built an altar and called it, the Lord is my what?
Banner.
The Lord is my what? Banner. All praise be to God. For he said, because the Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. In other words, representing the powers of darkness. There will always be war. Amen? Remember, the moment you got saved, you no longer belonged in this world. And you became an enemy to this world. Why? Because you became a danger to this world. Because now you are a port to the other side. Jesus said, I am the way, truth, and life. Well, guess who's in you? So that means that within you is the way, truth, and life, isn't it? You became a port to the other side. And the devil wants to shut that door. He doesn't want you to become that port to the other side. And how do you get to the other side? By prayer. By prayer. Is everybody with me? Oh, hallelujah. Now, there are three areas I want to talk about by waging a good warfare. The first one you must do is recognize your enemy. You must recognize your enemy. The thing about when I mention recognizing your enemy, I'm not talking about what type of spirit it is. What you must recognize is whether the war is within or without. It's either inward or outward where you're warring at. In other words, this is where you must recognize your enemy. Whether I'm warring, is this happening within me or is it happening outwardly? Do you understand this? Okay. In Romans chapter 7, how do you recognize your enemy? You want to know whether it's inward or outward. All right? Romans chapter 7, would you turn there, please? Oh, hallelujah. Romans chapter 7 and verse, God be the glory. Huh. Is everybody there? Romans 7, verse, let's see, 23. Now we'll start at 22. Read it with me. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my what? My mind, and bringing me into what? Captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Where is that war? Where is that? Inwardly. Does everybody understand that? That's inwardly. But see, there's something that Paul recognized. He recognized that there was a fight within. Hello? This is where we must recognize our enemy, whether it's within or without. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. First thing we must do is recognize our enemy, whether it's inward or outward. Hallelujah. You got to rather recognize whether it's you. Hello. Some of us could be our worst enemy. Me, myself, and I. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, in verse 4, would you read it with me? For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. In other words, casting down arguments, in other words, it's called lies. These are strongholds. Strongholds are memory lies. Amen. A stronghold in your life is a memory lie. It's something that you've accepted as a truth, but is not a truth. Some of these have been inherited. Did you ever hear somebody say to you, man, you're just like such and such, and you really don't really like how that such and such is acting? And you realize that you've inherited something from there? Hello? Now we know that there's good things and bad things, don't we? Some of the things, you're just like such and such, which is a good thing. Or you're just like such and such, which is a bad thing. Amen? Why? Because some of these strongholds, these memory lies, have been imparted or passed down. So this is where we must know whether it's an inward fight or an outward fight. Amen? Certain traumas in people's life has opened the door and it became an inward fight. It says, casting down arguments or lies and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God or the truth of God. Because light is truth. And where light is, it exposes darkness. Okay? So we need to know whether it's an inward or outward. Recognize your enemy, whether it's inward or outward. Like I said, sometimes our worst enemy is self. Hello? Sometimes you're not even fighting any demonic activity. You're just fighting the desires of flesh. Hello? Some of these things have been inherited that you're still fighting them, whether it be a stronghold, a memory, lie, something you've been lied about, something you're struggling with. Sometimes it's not even demonic activity. He doesn't need to do anything. He just sits there leaning on a wall, flipping a coin while he watches us beat ourselves up. Hello? We get all goofy. We start casting out devils and they're not even there. And you can't cast out flesh. You must take dominion over it. Hello? It must be crucified. How do you get it crucified? Get in the spirit as quick as possible and tell that little flesh creature, get back on the cross. Then turn around, take the hammer and put stakes in it. Hello? Tie it up, muzzle it up, stick a rag in its mouth, blind it. Everything you got to do. But don't listen to it. Hello? Praise God. You know, sometimes some people have an inward fight because they've been offended. And they've accepted a memory lie. And they can't get over it. Sometimes it's unforgiveness. There's, every time something comes up, they still have, man, do you know what that person did to me? Ooh, that's fight. That's an inward fight. Amen. Unforgiveness, things that have to grieve. Does it open a door to demonic activity? Yes, it can. Yeah. But this, you've got to recognize your enemy, whether it's inward or outward. Is everybody with me? Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Hallelujah. Waging a good warfare. Recognize your enemy, whether it's inward or outward. That's the first thing we need to do. You know, the word says, lean not on your own understanding, right? Hello? Second Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. Would you please read it with me? No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Now we see here that this is, what's affairs of this life? The affairs of the world. That means an outward. So everybody got it? It's outward. These are associated, affairs of the world is associated evil spirits under the ruler of this world. So this is where you must recognize who your enemy is, whether it's an inward or outward. Oh, hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Well, who's the ruler of this world?
Satan.
Right. So if anyone engaged in warfare doesn't entangle himself in the affairs of the world, the worldly system. Evil spirits under the ruler of this world, who is Satan. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Praise be to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. There's so many arenas that are affairs of this world. In verse 9, would you read it with me? Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. So he's just expressed what the outward one is. Amen? Praise be to God. Go to Joshua chapter 7. You must recognize your enemy, whether it's inward or outward. Joshua chapter 7. Some people are still involved in these things, and I wonder why they can't fight the good fight. They don't have no warfare. They've got no oomph in their punch in warfare. They constantly keep getting beat up, because they're not waging a good warfare. Oh, hallelujah. Joshua chapter 7. Can everybody still hear me back there? Okay. In verse 11. Now Israel just got beat on a war they should have won. On a battle they should have won. Joshua went to the Lord, and this is what the Lord told to Joshua. In verse 11, he says, Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken some of the accursed things, and have both stolen and deceived, and they have also put it among their own stuff. These are accursed items. Anyone is so, that's an outward, isn't it? People have accursed items, wearing certain things, certain tattoos and all kinds of stuff are accursed items. Some people just go, well, man, you know, I don't believe that. I don't, you know, I just don't believe that. Well, you know what? They cannot engage in a good warfare. Just won't work. And they wonder why they keep going in a vicious cycle. Hello? Or everything they try to do, Satan steals, because we've allowed access to him. In verse 12, would you read it with me? Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they had become doomed to destruction. Why? This was an outward, wasn't it? You had to recognize your enemy. People are still holding on to family, all kinds of stuff. Things that have been handed down that are demonic. But they say, oh, but it's worth a lot of money, praise God. Hallelujah. Money does not do spiritual warfare. Hello? It says, and the Lord says, neither will I be with you anymore unless you destroy the accursed from among you. Get up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves for tomorrow, because thus says the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. Hello. So that's a representation of outward. Remember, we must recognize, the first thing we must do is recognize our enemy, whether it's an inward or an outward. Amen? Turn to the book of Revelation. Hallelujah. The book of Revelation, chapter 12. Are you getting it?
Amen.
Glory to God. Waging a good warfare. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 17. Would you read it with me? And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Well, it didn't say he went after the other ones. He went after who? The ones who were obedient, hello, and had the testimony of Christ. So don't think that you're not in war. You are. The devil seeks whom he can devour. There is a war, and we must learn how to engage in good warfare. Engagement of warfare is prayer. The first thing that we must do is recognize our enemy, whether it's inward or outward. Everybody is in warfare. Once you begin praying in the Spirit, you are engaged. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Psalms 140. Now the devil is seeking those. Hey, man, I mean, it just says it right here. He's going after the ones who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus. And you're wondering, when is the devil going to leave you alone? He's not! You keep thinking, if I get to this one point, he'll leave me alone. No! He's out to steal, kill, and destroy. You are on his territory. You are a trespasser. And he wants to convict you. But we have a great attorney.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Psalm 140. Oh, to God be the glory. In verse 4, Brother David, he prayed this. What did he say? He said, keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked one. Preserve me from violent men who have purposed to make my steps stumble. Wow. The proud have hidden a snare for me and cords. They have spread a net by the wayside. They have set traps for me. I said to the Lord, you are my God. Hear the voice of my what? Supplications, O God. Hello? What was he doing? He was engaging in warfare by what? Prayer. Do you understand all these psalms are engagement of warfare? That's why the Lord usually gives you a psalm. What's he say? I want you to pray it. Speak it. He'll give you a psalm every morning. To do this, ask, Lord, give me it. Can I have a psalm today? Or search it out in your spirit. Which one is it? That's a prayer of your common language to pray. You're engaging in warfare. No prayer, no warfare. Hello? Remember, we want a war. We want to engage in good warfare, not just hitting the air for nothing and nothing happening. Nothing happens without prayer. Do you understand that? It's not in how you feel. God does not move by your emotions. And he does not move by your circumstances. He moves by prayer. You know, all of us got rescued. Somebody praying for our blessed assurance. Amen. Amen. So you must understand that the enemy purposely tries to make our steps fall or stumble. Amen? That's his job. And he does it well, doesn't he? So if you're not engaged in good warfare, you get beat. You get deceived. Things get stolen. You become, what was me? Why only me? And every other me. Hello? The second thing we want to be able to do to waging a good warfare is to get strategically positioned. Strategically positioned. Now, this is strategically positioned spiritually and physically. As a matter of fact, your inward, some of the things of your fight, recognizing your enemy, the way to recognize it, whether it was coming from the natural arena, right, even by accursed items, or whether it was coming by the demonic activity, or an inward of things that were passed down on us. So we had to recognize our enemy, inward or outward. In other words, some of these things are physical, and some of them are spiritual. Not that the enemy isn't behind them. Hello? But you've got to recognize these things. The second thing that we must be able to do is strategically get positioned spiritually and physically. Remember, what you do in the spirit. Now, I want to back up a little bit. Because we just talked about engagement of warfare is what? Prayer. Hello? Engagement of warfare is what?
Prayer.
So, what are you doing with prayer? You're going to the other side, aren't you? And what you bind on earth is bound in heaven. And what you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Do you understand that? Okay? So what you speak, that's why the word spirit means breath. Jesus does not move by your thoughts or by your emotions or by your circumstances. He moves by prayer. That's why people come up for prayer. But then the devil, some people don't come up for prayer because they don't feel like it. And that demon quivers in there going, man, don't go up there, I'll be exposed. Hallelujah. So the second thing we must do is get strategically positioned spiritually and physically, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. What if I change? What if I get healed, oh dear God? What if that demon comes out and I start manifesting and foaming at my mouth and my head starts twisting? Hallelujah. What an imagination. Demonic. Fearful. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody there? Glory to God. Verse 15. King Jehoshaphat just realized that he was being attacked, going to get attacked in every area, from everyone around. He knew that he could not physically win this war. So he set everybody together. First thing they did was pray, and they sought the Lord. And of course, the Lord sent a servant, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and the servant of this prophet spoke to them. In verse 15, and he said, listen, all of you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. And you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be what? Afraid nor what? Dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but... Oh, hallelujah. Do you understand? God is trying to get us out of the way. That's all he wants us to do, is to get engaged by prayer. He'll do the rest. Amen. He said, tomorrow go down against them. You will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. And you will not need to fight this battle. But what does he say? Position yourselves. Hello, say that again. Position yourself. Who's got to be positioned? We must. Position yourselves. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord. What were they doing? Worshiping the Lord. So one of the things that gets you in position is worship. People who cannot worship cannot spiritually get in position. Hello. Yes, you may recognize your enemy, but without the presence of God and the anointing which comes by worship, that's what puts you in position. Some people are still, they come to service, they go, and it's folded hands in their pocket, sit down, arms back on the chair. People are worshiping the Lord. You know what? They're prime rib. Yeah. Oh, we, the devil loves that. Look at that one. Come on, everybody, every that one. Remember, the devil seeks dry ground. Hello. He looks at it. Well, look at that one. Praise God. Lunch. They're there. And then they invite everybody else. They jump off of you. They hang on to this person. And this person wonder why she's got troubles, why nothing's going right, this and whatever. Why they're anxious, why they're fearful, why they're what was me, why this, why they're looking at everybody else's garbage and they can't see their own. All the fruits of the presence of evil. Worship will position you. Hallelujah. Now look at that. I'm going to go a little further. In verse 19, and the Levites and all the children of the Kohites and all the other children of the Kerites and stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and what? High. Oh, hallelujah. So they rose early in the morning, went out to the wilderness of Tekoa, and they went out. Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear, O me, O children of Israel, Judah, believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established, and believe in his prophets, and you'll prosper. So they all boogied on out there. And they went before the military. Hello? That whole group of worshipers went, listen. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who would sing to the Lord and who would praise the beauty of the holiness. And they went out before the army and were saying, let me tell you, the spiritual warfare was going out before the physical warfare. Hello? Does everybody got it? Why? Because you must go into the spirit first. Before what you see manifesting in the natural realm is associated with what you're doing in the spirit realm. You're either an overcomer or a run over. Hello? Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against their enemy. Hello? And when they got to the place, everybody was wiped out. The army, the physical army, did not have to do anything. They just went there and helped clean up all the jewels and all the cash and everything. Everybody boogied on home and had a good time. What did they do? They got positioned. But you must get positioned spiritually and physically. Hello? Oh, strategically positioned. So we see that there's a physical worship, isn't there? That's affecting the spirit, isn't it? Amen? Go to Psalm 91. Spiritually positioned. It's everybody there? Read verse 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So here's another position, isn't it? It's dwelling or abiding under the shadow of the Most High. The shadow is a representation of in the ark, in that third chamber of the tabernacle. There's the outer court, holy place, and most holy place. The wings used to touch that was over on the mercy seat. Okay? And when light would go shine in because of opening the curtain or whatever, there would be a shadow that would oversee, and they would see the wings and so forth. And it talks about he who dwells in the shadow of the Most High, because it was actually the shadow of the light on the Ark and the Covenant. It says, and I will say he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I'll trust. Now go to verse 9. And it says, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. It says, no evil shall befall you. Oh, praise be to God. Let's talk about positioning. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he'll give his angels charge over you to keep you in all of your ways. Oh, to God be the glory. See, when you get spiritually positioned, you have protection. When you get spiritually positioned, there is blessing, prosperity. When you get spiritually positioned, your house will be saved. And you don't have to call anybody. Say, listen, you need to know Jesus in your family. They'll call you. Hello? God will make the way. Does everybody understand this? So we must be strategically positioned, physically and spiritually. Hello? Glory to God. Psalm 133. Oh, praise God. Would you read that with me, please? Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Wow, that's physical positioning, isn't it? That means fellowship. It is like the precious oil upon the head. That's the anointing. It's corporate anointing. Without corporate anointing, you are not engaged in warfare. Because without the anointing, you can do nothing. Does everybody understand that? Running down the beard of Aaron, running down the edge of his garments, like it is like the dew of Hermon, descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded a blessing, life forevermore. So you know that there's blessing in positioning. Amen? Hallelujah. Look at it, it says in verse 130, chapter, Psalm 134. Behold, bless the Lord, all you servants who by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord, and the Lord who made the heaven and earth bless you from Zion. Praise God. Position. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Strategically positioned spiritually and physically. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Baharaya roho soto robo shoto kasia. Bless you, Master. Bless you, Master. In verse 16. Everybody all right? Read it with me. And what agreement has the temple of God with what?
Idols.
For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them, I will walk among them, I'll be their daddy, and they'll be my children or my people. If, the word therefore means if. If you what? Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. What is it? Wait a minute. And do not touch what is unclean. That's what separates you from the world. Has everybody got that? That's called positioning. That's called sanctification. By being sanctified, you are being positioned. Do not touch what is unclean, and I'll receive you, and you'll be my sons and daughters. Everybody got it? come out from among them. That's physical positioning. Sanctification will position you spiritually also. Psalm 24. Oh, hallelujah. Psalm 24. Waging a good warfare. No more letters to Santa Claus. Hallelujah. No more horoscope reading and all the other stuff. You're not a Gemini nor a Capricorn or whatever. You're a child of the Most High God. You need to break those curses off. Amen? Some of us are still dabbing into that newspaper. It's called witchcraft. Hello? Psalm 24, verses 4 and 5. Would you read it with me? Wait a minute. Start at verse 3. I'm sorry. Start at verse 3. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Isn't that positioning? Or who may stand in His holy place? He who has what? Clean hands. Hallelujah. And a what? Pure heart. Oh, that's called divine positioning, brother. Who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. He will receive what? Blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. That is positioning. Physical and spiritual positioning. Who can approach the mountain of God? Who can ascend up in His presence? He who has a pure heart and clean hands. That means that we got to be humble. Remember, rebellion is the sin is witchcraft. That's why the Bible says, submit to God and resist the devil. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody all right? So the first thing we must do is recognize our enemy, whether it's inward or outward, and we must strategically get positioned physically and spiritually. And the third thing we must do, these are three major things. We must be like-minded with the Spirit and each other, and able to receive instruction. Hello? We must be like-minded spiritually and with each other. Like-minded. Able to receive instruction. Jeremiah 31. Like-minded with the Spirit and with each other. You know, if we're not like-minded, people are going to go astray. People are going to buck one another. We got to come to a place where we stop bucking and start bowing. Hello. If you're still in the way, you're trouble. You got to get out of the way. Some people keep bouncing into themselves. Do you ever? You know, you'd be walking somewhere, not paying attention. You bounce into someone. Go, oh, sorry, y'all. Some people are doing it with themselves. They're not paying attention. They keep bouncing in themselves all day long. Bam, bam. You know why? They can't get themselves out of the way. You need to tell yourself, get behind me. Go in the mirror and tell that thing to get behind you. Little flesh creature. Jeremiah 31, verse 33. We must be like-minded. The Spirit and with each other. Would you read it with me? Jeremiah 31, 33. Hallelujah. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of True Ministries. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my law in their minds. I will put meat in a bottle. Hallelujah. And write it in their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they will all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. Oh, hallelujah. So we know that it says here that his law, his commands will already be imparted in us. The mind represents the spirit. Like-minded means like-spirited. Because there really is no word of the word mind in the Hebrew language. Oh, hallelujah. Like-minded. Able to receive instruction. Go to Philippians chapter 2. Oh, hallelujah. Philippians chapter 2. Waging a good warfare. Engagement of war means prayer. Amen? Three areas to wage a good warfare. We must, number one, recognize our enemy and strategically get positioned. Number two, and number three, be like-minded. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, read it with me. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each one esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of man. Oh, hallelujah. You know what? We must know the thoughts of God. We must know the thoughts of Christ. We must know His thoughts. That's how you and I become like-minded with Him. But if you don't hang around with Him, how are you going to know Him? Amen? We must know His thoughts. These are His written thoughts, but then there are His thoughts in the spirit arena where you know His impression. You know His character. You already know exactly whether He's going to approve or disapprove of something. Hello? Without any justification or reasoning. Praise God. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Being like-minded. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16. Read it with me. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may what? Say instruct. Instruct. Amen. But we have the what? Mind of Christ. So remember, when he talks about being like-minded, it means that we must not only be able to be like-minded with one another, but with the Spirit, in the Spirit, and able to receive instruction. Hello? Able to receive instruction. Go to Proverbs 4. Oh, hallelujah. Proverbs 4, starting at verse 10. Proverbs 4 and verse 10. Would you read it with me? Hear, my son, and receive my sayings. and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in the right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. And when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction and do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Instruction. Proverbs 8. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 32. Chapter 8, Proverbs 8, verse 32. Somebody there? Read it with me. Now therefore, listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. Wow. So we see instruction is very important, isn't it? Those who are walking in instruction will find favor of the Lord. Hallelujah. In Proverbs 12. Proverbs 12, verses 1 and 2. Proverbs 12, verses 1 and 2. Read it with me. Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. That's what the word says. Whoever hates instruction is a bonehead. Hello. A good man obtains favor from the Lord, but a man of wicked intentions will be condemned. Oh, hallelujah. And I want to end with this, Romans 15. Romans 15. Hallelujah. Verses 5 and 6. Is everybody there? Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be what? Like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So, waging a good warfare. Remember, engagement of warfare is prayer. No prayer, no warfare. Three areas that we wage a good warfare is, number one, recognize your enemy, whether it's inward or outward. Number two, strategically get positioned spiritually and physically. And number three, be like-minded with the Spirit in each other, able to receive instruction. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. And Lord, where any area where we are out of position, where we have forsaken, where we have not recognized, Lord, where we haven't become like-minded with the Spirit, Lord, where we've walked in our own affair, where we're still in the way, Lord, we repent. We ask for your forgiveness. We ask for the washing of your blood and the purging of your presence. And we ask, Father, impart in us tonight a hatred for evil. And a desire to pray according to your will and your way. And those who haven't gotten the gift of tongues, Lord, fill them with your Spirit. Manifest that gift that they may be stirred up, that their faith may be increased, and that a revelation and confirmation will be granted to each and every one of them. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Hallelujah.